Those who follow the messenger, the unlettered prophet. All right, so they call Muhammad the unlettered prophet. Does anybody in here know what unlettered means? Unlettered means ignorant, illiterate, unlearned, and untutored. They call him the unlettered, the ignorant prophet of whom they find written in their sources in the Torah and the Gospel. So they try to say that Muhammad can be found in the Bible, and that is not true. So how did the Muslim religion start? Well, Muhammad found himself in a cave. And what do you think of when you think of a cave? Creepy, dark, scary, mysterious place. And he received a supposed revelation from an angel named Gabriel. And Gabriel grabbed him and choked him and said, Muhammad, read. And Muhammad says, I can't read. Read, Muhammad. This happened 3 times. And Muhammad said he couldn't read. He said that he thought this angel was a demon. Right after he received this revelation from God, this wonderful news, the first thing he tried to do was to kill himself. Now, is that good news? What if I receive revelation from God and the very first thing I try to do is kill myself? Is that the gospel? Is that the good news? Sounds like bad news to me. Yeah. Amen. Amen. I mean, look at the foundation. Look, 1 in 4 people follow the teachings of Muhammad. Muhammad married a 6-year-old girl. Now, I'm going to keep this rated G because I believe that everything from the pulpit should be rated G. Let's keep it clean for everybody. There are so many things that I wish I could say, but I can't. I can't inform everybody about how terrible Islam is, because if I did, I'd be defiling your minds. Muhammad was convinced that he had seen a demon, and he tried to hurl himself off of a cliff. And if you talk to Muslims, if you try to witness to them, they will admit this. And they always say, Muhammad, peace be upon him. How can you invoke peace on a molester, somebody who harmed a little child, many little children, boys and girls? And I believe a curse is upon him. There's no peace upon him. Amen. I believe he's in hell today. And the Quran states that Muhammad is an exalted standard of character. He's a beautiful pattern of conduct. This is what they say. They say he's the most wonderful man. He's better than Jesus, according to them. What about womanhood in Islam? I know a lot of the Muslim ladies are very kind people. I've had good conversations with them. Wonderful people. I don't wish them any harm. I do wish to destroy their false religion, but I hope to help them understand that, check this out from the Quran, it says, but those wives from whom you fear arrogance, first advise them. Then if they persist, forsake them in bed. And finally, what? Strike them. In Muslim countries today, men will beat their wives in the streets. But what does the Bible tell us as men, folks? Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. Look, you should never lay a finger on your wife, men. Never, under any circumstance. Muhammad said, a man will not be asked as to why he beat his wife. Muhammad beat Aisha. Aisha was the girl that was underage that he had married. Married.
قضية الضرب دي شبهة خطيرة جدا.
نعم.
واحدة واحدة معانا مولانا.
أقول إن الله كرم المرأة بهذه العقوبة عقوبة الضرب. كيف؟
كرمها بالضرب؟
إي والله.
مش معقول.
كيف؟
You can see videos online of people in Islam saying, Prophet so-and-so, Pastor so-and-so, because they have Muslim pastors called imams. Pastor so-and-so, how do I get to heaven? And this elderly woman came to Muhammad and said, how can I get to heaven, Muhammad? She was expecting Muhammad to maybe intercede. She said, will you intercede on my behalf with God and have him let me into heaven? But Muhammad sent her away. He said, there will be no elderly women in heaven. She went away crying, and he thought it was the funniest thing ever. He made fun of her. He was a bully. He was an evil man. He was not a prophet. What did Jesus say? He says, all that the Father giveth to me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. Amen. Jesus will never cast us out. If you come to Jesus Christ and you ask for forgiveness for something, or you ask him to save your soul, or you rely on him and what he did on the cross to take you to heaven, he says, I will never cast you out. He says, I love you so much that I will never leave thee or forsake thee. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men. The man Muhammad? The man Buddha who's still in the grave? The man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. Jesus gave everything he had for you and I. He showed us the ultimate love that someone could show. I want to talk about the strange teachings of the Quran. And when I'm at the door and I'm witnessing to Muslims, this is some of the stuff that I bring up to show that what they are believing in is a lie. It's not true. Can it be that God has sent a human as an emissary? So they're saying, can it be that God sent you as a man to give us this revelation, Muhammad? And then this is what Muhammad said. Had the earth been safe enough for angels to walk on, we would have sent down to them an angel from heaven as an emissary. You know what he's saying? He's saying the angels would have came to the earth to give you a revelation, but guess what? It wasn't safe enough for them. What does Muhammad think this is? Like Detroit, downtown Detroit for the angels? They're not safe? Muhammad taught that a good dream that comes true is from Allah and a bad dream is from Satan. So if any one of you has a bad dream, you seek refuge with God or Allah from Satan and should spit on the left. Muhammad taught that we need to drink camel urine. I'm not kidding. Muslims will do this today. You can look it up online. I don't advise doing it because it's just nasty. But you can see people today drinking camel urine. And it gets even crazier because if you ask a Muslim, all right, give us some other reasons why Muhammad is a prophet. Why do you accept this man as a prophet? They claim that because Muhammad had a bunch of moles between his shoulders and skin tags, that is why he is a prophet sent from God. Between his shoulders was the seal of prophethood. This is right in their book, which was a sign of his truthfulness in that he was indeed the promised prophet. Muhammad taught that people who listened to music were in danger of turning into apes and pigs. So he'd tell his men, don't listen to music, you'll turn into an ape. Well, that's like reverse evolution, right? Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your hearts of the Lord. You know, every single Sunday we come here, Wednesday or Thursday, midweek service, we sing. Why? Because the Bible says we should make a melody in our hearts to the Lord. It's a wonderful thing. But Muhammad taught that you're to inhale water up your nose after you go to sleep. And this is what Muslims do. You can see it online. You can look it up. You inhale water up your nose after you sleep because the devil lodges in your nose. And then you exhale the water violently from your nose so you can flush the devil out. Let's talk about the Son of God. Amen. Who here believes in the Son of God? Amen. I believe Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. But the Quran states, all the praises and thanks be to Allah, who has not begotten a son. That doesn't sound too good. In the Old Testament, which Muslims accept as scripture, they will tell you that the Old Testament and the New Testament are scripture. So our Bible that we have, they believe it's scripture. So you use the Bible, since they claim it's authoritative, to show them that God does have a son. When Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were in the fiery furnace, there was only three of them in there. But remember when Nebuchadnezzar, the king, looked in to see how this fillet was going, because he was trying to murder them. And he says, lo, I see four men loose. Not three, four, walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt. And the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. The Bible tells us that there was the Son of God revealing himself in the Old Testament. The Christians say the Messiah is the Son of Allah, the Son of God. These are the words of their mouths. They imitate the sayings of those who disbelieved before. May Allah destroy them. Well, that doesn't sound very nice. Bible says, he that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. So there's records through the Bible that God gave of his Son. And the Son of God was in the fourth man that was in the flames with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and they were all not hurt by the fire in the Old Testament. Now let's talk about jihad. Fight everyone in the way of God and kill those who disbelieve in God. God said this. This is what Jesus says. He says, but I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. You want to make a difference in someone's life. When they persecute you, say, hey, I hope you're doing well. I hope you're having a good day. Fight in the name of Allah and in the way of Allah. Fight against those who disbelieve in Allah. Make a holy war. I am not for war. And I believe the Bible teaches that we are not to be trying to just go out and fight. The Bible says if you want to be a pastor, you can't be trying to start fights with people. That's not right. But what did Muhammad do? He said to make a war. Go out and fight. He says, I will expel the Jews and Christians from the Arabian Peninsula. And he did, and they're still, Muslims still inhabit it now, and they kill people who deconvert and will not leave any but Muslim. It cannot be by force, my friend, that you are to believe something. Otherwise, you're not really believing it. Out of the heart, you have to make a decision. Jesus said, whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. Love has much more power than hate. The Bible says, be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. And a lot of Muslims say, well, your Savior was so weak, Matt. He was a weak Savior because he died on a cross when there could have been angels who could have saved him and he could have destroyed all these people. He was weak. What takes power? If somebody punches me in the face and I don't retaliate, I withdraw, or if I just retaliate? What takes more power? To withdraw, to step down, to withhold your members from a fight, and to say, you know what, I'm actually not going to fight you. Islam is coming to Denmark. Behead those who insult Islam. This is going on right now. These are places right now where they are beheading people left and right. Somebody across the sea from the USA today, this morning, died for our faith. Did you know that? Somebody was beheaded today. Yesterday, the day before. And so my message to people is that we need to be in church more, and we need to go out and tell people about Jesus more, because we have freedom in America. We are in a free country. These Islamic men, they think they're doing God's service. Muslims will rise up, establish the Sharia, dominate the world. Muhammad assassinated people who criticized his religion, and we're coming to a close here. So just because people were critical of him, he would have them assassinated. And in the Quran, it states that if you're a Christian and if they want to kill you, they'll lie in wait somewhere to be able to assassinate you or to kill you in these other countries. But how did Jesus react? The Bible says he was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. Did you know the Bible says Jesus was whipped so hard that you could not even tell he was a man? Imagine being whipped so hard that you can't even tell that this person is a human. What power, what authority, what strength our God has to be able to withstand such a tormentuous situation. He opened not his mouth, went as a lamb to the slaughter, but Muhammad executed people for making fun of him. And they will admit this. But what did they do to Jesus? They mocked him. They scorned him. Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. When Stephen the apostle was being murdered, they were having stones thrown at him. The last thing he said was, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. Wow, what power to be able to say, Lord, I hope they find forgiveness. And you know who was stoning Stephen? The Apostle Paul. He was right there overseeing it all. Before he became a Christian, he was stoning other Christians. He was killing them. So that tells me, even if you have a Muslim that's going around and killing Christians, they can still be saved. They could hear a message like this, and they could just simply repent of trusting a pedophile and a freak and a loony guy, and turn and trust in the Messiah of all the world, the Messiah of the planet, the person whose name, the only name that's taken in vain by the entire world, the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Muhammad told his followers that women are ignorant. And as we mentioned earlier, Muhammad would beat women, and so would his followers. He commanded it. It's a commandment in the Quran. But the Bible says there's neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female. For you're all one in Christ Jesus. Do you know what that means? A man is not better than a woman, and a woman is not better than a man. We're all created equal in God's sight. It doesn't matter what Muhammad's opinion was. Muhammad preached that God loves only Muslims and no one else. But what does the Bible say? For God so loved the what? the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. You know, the best way that you can make a difference is to just help people. If you see somebody getting bullied at school, go put your arm around them, give them a hand, lift them up. The Bible says that Jesus sought to seek and to save that which was lost. We should find people that are lost and help them find their way. You should seek as a Christian to propel others forward. I want to end with this story. Jesus was at the Garden of Gethsemane, and as we know, he was being betrayed by Judas Iscariot. Everybody heard of Judas, right? The bad apostle. The Bible says, while he yet spake, lo, Judas, one of the 12, came, and with a great multitude of swords and staves from the chief priests and the elders of the people. Look at verse 49. And forthwith he, Judas, came to Jesus and said, Hail, Master, and kissed him. And Jesus said unto him, what's that word right there?
Friend.
Even after Judas had walked his entire life, his entire ministry life with Jesus, turned his back on Jesus, Jesus still said, Judas, I want you to be my friend. Did you know that you can be a friend of God? You can experience the mercy of God. He was offering Judas a chance, I believe, right there. Wherefore art thou come, friend? Then they came and laid hands on Jesus and took him. And behold, one of them, which were with Jesus, stretched out his hand and drew his sword and struck a servant of the high priest's and smote off his ear. So imagine, you know, let's say you're the servant of the high priest. I'm Peter. They're taking Jesus and wham, knock off your ear, right? Jesus said, Peter, stop. And Jesus picked up the ear of the man and put it back on his head. And he showed mercy to that man, and he loved people so much that he died for them. The Bible says the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So who are you going to trust? Are you going to trust Jesus? Or are you going to trust Muhammad? Is Jesus your Messiah? Or is Muhammad your Messiah? Jesus died on an old rugged cross so that you and I might have life. And the only thing that you have to do if you are a Muslim is stop trusting Muhammad and say, you know what? I'm a sinner. I'm actually not good. The Bible says, as it is written, there's none righteous. And I'm going to turn to Christianity. I'm going to look to Jesus, and I'm going to trust what Jesus did on that cross to pay for all of my sins. And I'm going to receive his free gift of eternal life, and I'm going to let Jesus take me to heaven when I die. I'm going to accept his invitation. It's an invitation. It's not forced. Trust Jesus to take you to heaven. And my friend, Jesus promises in that moment to save your soul forever. And so with that being said, with all of this being said, I'd like to go ahead and close out. Do we have any questions before we end the service today?